Hello and welcome to today's Good News of the Kingdom podcast with Gary Miller, voice of the International Congregation of Yahweh. ICY has been publishing literature for over 27 years and has radio broadcast outlets in over 20 countries. ICY's magazine, Insight, is celebrating its 23rd anniversary and has readers in more than 30 countries worldwide. We hope you will stay with us after today's program for a detailed look inside the Insight and our other literature covering a variety of biblical topics. You may also visit us online at icyahweh.org.
Well, here we are at the Feast of Shoutings or Feast of Trumpets that comes around the starting the seventh month every year, and it's really great to be here and be able to worship Yahweh in peace and safety in this country. Certainly not the case in all parts of the world, and we know from recent events that that fortunes can change on a dime, so to speak, and we're very thankful we live in this country. This, as I said, is the new moon in our email today. This is the new moon of the seventh month, seventh new moon of the year. And this is a very important time. We are heading into the fall festivals. And there are more solar lunar festivals in this month than any month of the year. Four of the seven are in this month. So it's almost like a month of rest in that sense. So it's a very important time. Yahweh puts a lot of emphasis on this seventh month. It's like the seventh week, the seventh year, the seventh day, seventh week of Feast of Weeks, and so on. So Yahweh has the number seven throughout his system of calendars and system of timekeeping, and we keep those times based on the rules that we find in the Bible, not tradition. What we need is fact and proof, and not just tradition. Well, the name of this festival is called the Feast of Shoutings of Joy or Alarm. It's often called the Feast of Trumpets. Now, a very common designation in the Jewish community for this is called Rosh Hashanah. Rosh meaning head, Ha meaning the, Shana meaning year, head of the year. However, if you look at Yahweh's calendar system, this is the seventh month. There will be an eighth month and a ninth month and a tenth month. So that's a designation that's not completely scriptural, but it's common to refer to it this way. In fact, I got an email this morning from somebody on our list who wished us a happy Rosh Hashanah. I didn't answer back one way or the other, but we need to keep in mind that this is the seventh month. And Yahweh does have a period of time, first through the seventh month, which is the time he's most active, I guess you could say. All of his holy days are in that span of time. So we could call this the ecclesiastical year, because what it says, and I'm going to read a little bit of that, but what it says is that the Feast of Tabernacles is in the end of the year, at the end of the year. So this is telling us that the seventh month is getting near the end of the year, not the beginning of the year. Let's just turn there just for a moment, just as a reference. In Exodus, the 23rd chapter, verse 16, is where we find that comment there. And it's good to know that we have these things in season. You know, how do we know, for example, that this really is the seventh month in the year, which I'm not going into here, but it's something that has to be known. And what it says here in the 23rd chapter, verse 16, in the Feast of First Fruit, or Feast of Harvest, the first fruits of your labors, when you've sown, which you have sown in the field, and the Feast of Ingathering, which is in the end of the year, when you have gathered in your labors out of the field. So this is where we are now. We're getting close to the end of the year, and this is the first day of the seventh month. Well, this is also designated as a time of blowing of trumpets. in Psalms, the 81st chapter, and verse 3, it says, blow up the trumpet, blow up the shofar. It's actually the shofar, which is a ram's horn. I have one right here. Blow up the ram's horn in the new moon and in the time appointed on our solemn feast day. So I've already blown the shofar this morning because that's what Yahweh says to do. There's an important connection with the shofar. It's an announcement. A blast of the shofar will apparently take place when Yahshua returns. So it's a sort of prelude to that time. But it's not going to be on this day because he's going to have returned back in the summer. That's when the kings go to war. That's when he's going to return as King of Kings and Master of Masters. And so the seventh month is going to be a month of rest, like I said, and the Feast of Shouting is going to usher in that time of peace. And we're heading toward the kingdom of Yahweh, this age of peace that the world needs, that on every level of our personal lives and nationally and so on, is all based on Yahweh's law. And that's what the kingdom of Yahweh is going to do. It's going to reestablish from the days of Eden, long ago. It's going to reestablish that kingdom so that there will be peace and prosperity for all people on the earth. Now, some people are not going to accept that. You'll have to force the peace on them. You'll have to force them to be happy. You have to force them to be prosperous. But that's what the kingdom is going to do. It's going to set the laws of the land, and peace will follow automatically. Well, let's read the requirements over in Leviticus 23. It's always good to go back, check those scriptures, and see what it says here. Leviticus, the 23rd chapter and the 24th verse. Of course, Leviticus 23 is a pivotal chapter. It contains many of the holy days. It doesn't mention the new moons per se, but it mentions many of the holy days, most all the solar lunar days. Feast of Weeks even talks about that. So this is a very important chapter, and of course this is one chapter we need to know about, of course, as our point of reference is, if you want to know about the holy days, turn to Leviticus 23. It says, speaking of the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first of the month, shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. So convocation simply means to get together. It's an assembly, a required assembly. It's not optional. And this is a memorial of blowing of trumpets. And actually, if you look at some other translations, it says a memorial of shouting. That's why I call this often the Feast of Shoutings. Also, Numbers 29:1, for example, says a day of shouting. So the Tanakh says with loud blasts. So there's lots of different ways that we can look at this. The word, the Hebrew word is teruah, and it's translated shout 10 times. So we could easily call this the Feast of Shoutings, because it's going to be a time of shouting. Sometimes this word shout can mean a war cry. It can be a shout of joy. So the jubilee means the ram's horn. So it's ram's horn is what we blow on the first day of the seventh month. Sacrifices of joy, it's also translated that way. Lips with rejoicing. So, you know, the word itself has a lot of connotations, not just blowing a trumpet. But it denotes an important time that the new moons, all new moons, are telling us something's about to happen. This is initiating something. It's a called assembly. Numbers 10 and verse 3 talks about that. When the trumpets are blown, silver trumpets, their assembly is required. So the sound of the trumpets has been used in many cases over the years, and Yahshua will blow the trumpet. You can look at the details, look at the scriptures, and you can see that he is a practiced shofar blower. And so we're just following his example, like it says in Peter, to follow his example. And that's part of what he does. So if he does that, that's what we would do. So that's one thing we have to keep in mind, that when we consider our particular situation, what the Messiah did is our example. That's our standard. We go by that standard, and whatever he did, or whatever he does, that's what we are to do. The let's look at what occurs here. Of course, it is the new moon, and we have to know about that, and that's another calendar problem. The calendar is a big issue when you begin to think about when things happen. You see how important the calendar is. For example, is today a Sabbath or is tomorrow? Several groups will keep it tomorrow. So the Sabbath is just one day difference between Saturday and Sunday, weekly Sabbath. This Sabbath is one day difference with some other groups. So the calendar is an absolute cornerstone of the gospel message of Yahweh, because you cannot get the gospel message regarding Yahweh's sign of his festivals without knowing the new moons and getting it straight. So it's extremely important that we get that right. Now, what does that do? Well, since Yahweh commands that we do this, we know that he also commands a blessing on what we do if we obey him. He's commanded a blessing to bless our corn, to bless our water, to bless our bodies by healing if we do what he says. So all of those things are on a very, very personal level about how we live our lives and so on. Based on Yahweh's law, he blesses that. Let's turn to Job for just a few minutes. Job, the first chapter. Job comes right before Psalms. Job was a righteous man. And you can see how his obedience to Yahweh was the reason why Satan could not get to him. And when we think about what it takes for our own protection and our safety in this world, we do a lot of traveling. We're going to be traveling to the feast here before long. Those of you who came today on a long journey, this is a pilgrimage. We ask Yahweh's blessing and protection as we go. Yahweh has said that he will bless what we put our hand to if we obey him, and that includes protection. If you look at this account in the book of Job, it says, the verse 6, "And there was a day when the sons of Yahweh," or Elohim, "came to present themselves before Yahweh, and Satan came also among them." Isn't that strange? When do the sons of Yahweh come to present themselves before Yahweh? Hold your place right there. Turn to Deuteronomy, the 16th chapter, and we'll find some insight into when this took place, and it explains many things. Deuteronomy 16, verse 16. Here's what it says. "Three times in the year shall all males appear before Yahweh your Elohim." And when are those times? Well, the sons of Elohim came to present themselves before Yahweh, Job 1 and verse 6. When did they do that? "In the Feast of Unleavened Bread," says at the place Yahweh shall choose to place his name, "in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, in the Feast of Weeks, and in the Feast of Tabernacles, and they shall not appear before him, before Yahweh, empty." So if you take that scripture, by letting scripture open scripture, and apply it to verse 6 of Job, you see this is when it happened, one of those times. And Yahweh said to Satan, says, "Whence come you?" And said, and Satan answered Yahweh and said, "Well, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it," sort of kicking around. And Yahweh said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in all the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that fears Yahweh and escheweth evil? Have you considered this guy?" So here's what Satan says, sort of a cavalier And then Satan answered Yahweh and said, doth Job fear Elohim for no reason or for naught? Notice what it says, verse 10. Have you not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he has on every side? That you have blessed the work of his hands and his substance is increased in the land. Now, what happened here? Why did Job have that hedge around him? About his house, about all that he has on every side, bless the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Why did that happen? What was the protective hedge around Job? Well, it told us in verse 8, he was a perfect man, upright. That tells you, in a world of chaos, in a world like we live in today, what is our protection? The same thing that was Job's protection. Satan and his minions cannot get to us when Yahweh protects us. And that's the key. That's the key. The things that happen, the tragedies and so on that happen in different parts of the world, why do they happen? Why the agony, the pain, the depression, the murdering, the pillage, the thievery? Why? Because the hedge is not there. And the hedge can be placed there by obeying Yahweh's law. Job was a perfect man. That's the definition of perfection. So that's the point to keep in mind on a very, very practical level about why Job was protected. Well, you know, what we've seen in the last week has been really, really upsetting in many ways. Our ambassador to Libya, Christopher Stevens, and three other staff members were killed. Some of the details are still sketchy at this point. One evaluation is that he died of asphyxiation, trying to escape and the smoke and everything. We don't know for sure. His body was not found for 5 hours. I think it's 5 or 9 hours before they ever found his body. So we don't know all the details. You don't know what could have happened. But point is, he was killed. I don't know if it was murder or maybe an accidental thing. We don't know. But very, very disturbing situation. You know, he was instrumental in the bringing down of Libya's Muammar Gaddafi. He was instrumental in a way of, I guess you might say, working with the insurrection. Not that he actually was on the street, but he did apparently play some role in that. Our Secretary of State said, how could this happen in a country we help liberate, in a city we help save from destruction? And I'm quoting Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. And she placed responsibility on a small and savage group and not on the people or government of Libya. So I'm sure that's obviously an overture to try to keep the lid on things. And they say that the violence has ebbed now. It's been about a week. This is on the anniversary of the 9/11 attack. Apparently, from what I gather, the Marine contingency that is usually around embassies was not there. So it's an unfortunate situation. You know, when you're in a situation that's hostile like that, the guy had to be brave to be there. In fact, the U.S. is telling people in Tunisia and other places to evacuate, for Americans to get out. It's not a good situation. Don't want to be in those areas. It's a very volatile situation. The tin horns are rising, and as they rise, the violence continues to rise with them. It's to be expected. Doesn't mean it's something to look forward to. It's just fulfillment of prophecy. And so because we know, based on Yahweh's word, what to look for, as opposed to always looking to Europe and the Catholic Church, which they always do, and say, well, it's 10 nations of Europe and the resurrected Holy Roman Empire, apparently started by Charlemagne. But that's another set of prophecies that does not square with the Bible. So we know where to look and what to look for. So in that sense, we're not surprised to see this happening. What is surprising to me personally is that it's happening so quickly. I know when we first talked about this, I first talked about it probably 9 years ago, maybe 9 or 10 years ago. But and then a couple of years ago at the feast, oh well, it's going to take years for this to happen, and it will, for the total emergence of the horn and the beast, horns and the beast. But it still happened more quickly than I anticipated. So as things move along, events can sometimes go exponentially instead of gradually. But what is our view? What's our point of view? Stick with the principles. Stick with what we know. We live in America. Praise Yahweh that we live in America. We should pray for our leaders. We may not agree with all that they do, all that they say, and their decisions, but they still need Yahweh's guidance. This country is in a very crucial time right now, as we know, economically and politically. And so we ask Yahweh's blessing on this country to keep it stable, keep our dollar worth something, because the work of Yahweh, getting the gospel out, still has to be done. And what better place to do it than in America, where we have the freedom. And we ask Yahweh's continued blessing on the freedoms of America that we have, so that we can enjoy freedom to worship Him unmolested and freedom to get the gospel out. And we need to continually pray for Yahweh's work, that He will bless our efforts in roughly 30 foreign countries with the broadcast, our broadcast in this country. We've got two programs now going, and ask Yahweh's blessing on that. So on this first day of the seventh month, we ask Yahweh's blessing as we go into this very important month, this month of Sabbaths, basically, so that we can focus on the right things. And that's one of the difficulties we have, particularly in a tumultuous time, is to focus on the things that matter. Obviously, we live in this world. Yahweh did not take us out of this world. And that makes us different in some ways. You know, when you look at the sacred name groups, you look at the sacred name movements generally, they are, in many cases, outside the mainstream. They tend to be more on the kind of the fringe element in terms of they tend to live, in many cases, out of society, try to insulate themselves from society. But Yahshua said, I ask not that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the world. So that puts us in a somewhat unique situation that when people first make contact with us, they expect us to be weirder, I guess you might say, but they're surprised that we're conventional, very much conventional, except we keep Yahweh's law and adhere to those things. Well, as it said there, Leviticus 23:24, we are to do no servile work. We're going back there, and I didn't quite finish reading all of that, but it says, verse 25, you shall do no servile work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto Yahweh. Well, that's what we do on new moons. We offer an offering. So the seventh day is a Sabbath. The seventh new moon is a Sabbath. And if you were just like saying, well, what would the seventh new moon be? Would it be a Sabbath? Well, it has the day for the day principle that, like seventh day, the seventh month is also a Sabbath. Now, with the sounding of the seventh trumpet, if you want to look into the future here to get some idea of a relationship, which makes a lot of sense when you look at Revelations, the 11th chapter, Revelations 11, verse 15 through 17. Of course, this is a book of Revelation, not a book of sealing, because Yahshua took the seals off the book. He took off seven seals. And, of course, nobody in heaven or earth was able to take off the seals except Him. And so that's the Lamb. He opened one of the seals. Nobody was able to do it but Yahshua. You know, one reason why nobody was able to do it is because nobody was righteous enough to do it. And you see, it takes righteousness to open the book. It takes righteousness to open the law. Moses was a righteous man. The Bible says he was meeker than any man on the face of the earth. So he out-meeked everybody, so to speak. And because of his obedience to Yahweh, and I might add, put a punctuation on that, a 40-day fast to boot, which that's a long time to go without food. Because of that, the law was revealed. That's how it's revealed. It's not revealed in wickedness, it's revealed in righteousness. Just like the book of Revelations is revealed because somebody righteous enough, surely not any of us on the earth, somebody righteous enough was there, available. So they handed him the book and he started taking the seals off. So it's very important. This is an important unveiling here. In fact, I think that's what the Greek word means, the unveiling that Yahshua was doing. And this all continues, and various things were happening. The seventh seal, and there were seven trumpets. Chapter 8, he opened the seventh seal, and there were seven trumpets there, and angels ready to blast with the seven trumpets. In chapter 11 and verse 15, he gets to that point here, and this is moving forward into the future here. 11 verse 15, it says, "And the seventh angel sounded." Now, interestingly, it's interesting that you have the first month of the year, a trumpet is blown, a shofar is blown. And I have to double check myself, but I think these are shofars, if I remember correctly on this. Second month, another shofar is blown. Third month, fourth month, who blows those trumpets in heaven? Because Yahweh keeps these holy days. He keeps the new moons. The angels, if they didn't keep the new moons, they would be sinning. And the angels that sinned said he spared them not, even the angels that sinned. So they got to be doing these things. This is part of the natural order of things. So on the sixth new moon, an angel, somebody blasts a trumpet. And here we find in Revelations another blasting of a seventh trumpet, which when would that happen? If you look at the record of the law, you would have to conclude it's very probable that this seventh angel sounded in the seventh month, which makes sense. Verse 15 of chapter 11. "And there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Elohim," or Yahweh, "and of his Messiah, and he shall reign for ages of ages," is what it says. Literally, it says forever and ever. For ages of ages. Now, what this does is give us an insight into the future. You see, it's telling us when the seventh angel sounds, at some point in the future, the kingdoms of this earth will become the kingdoms of Yahweh. The kingdom of Yahweh is going to be set up when the seventh angel sounds his trumpet. Is that the seventh month of the year? Strong indication that it probably is. So what we're seeing for today, by celebrating this day, keeping Yahweh's schedule, as it says, we are seeing a foretaste or a prelude to the coming kingdom of Yahweh. It's going to be set up starting the seventh month. So this month of rest, it makes sense, it's going to start with the kingdom. And so I think when you look back at the scenario, I think Yahshua is going to go to war sometime in the summer prior to the trumpet being blown in the seventh month. And by the time the seventh month is here, he's already got the armies defeated. The Battle of Armageddon is more than likely over by then. And so he would have conquered the rebellious kingdoms of this world in an all-out fight to the death of the ten horns, the seven heads, to the very bitter end. And Yahweh wins, obviously. He's geared up to win. He's been gearing up for it for who knows how long. And he's got the personnel and the material to do it. It's going to be an awesome display. Absolutely mind-boggling what's going to happen. But Yahweh's going to win it in no uncertain terms. And he doesn't get in a war to lose. He doesn't get in a war to pacify. He gets in a war to win it. You don't want to get in war with him. I mean, he avoids conflicts. He's not a warmonger, and that's why his people are the same way. We're not warmongers. But you get him in a battle, he's going to beat you. He's going to win it. And so that's what's going to happen. I'm sure that will take place in the summer. You go to the Old Testament, says at the time of a year when kings go to war. When do they do that? In the dead of winter, in the fall, they do it in the summertime. And that's what's going to happen. And so I think he'll be returning, as I've mentioned different times, strong internal evidence for the scriptures. He will return sometime before the second Passover, the summer before the seventh trumpet is blown. And that's like a celebration. A celebration, we won it, hands down. And now it's time to start setting up the kingdom of Yahweh in earnest. And that's what this great day portrays. It does not portray the second coming of Yahshua. It portrays the establishment of the kingdom of Yahweh. Because Yahshua's already returned, as I've mentioned, prior to this time in that year, whatever year that happens to be. So it's very important we see there is a purpose. There is a grand plan behind Yahweh's holy day system. And it's not just some sort of vain, mechanical thing we go through. It is living the future, so to speak, by being part of the kingdom of Yahweh effort. And that's what's happening. Part of the reason, which sometimes we don't think of this perhaps, part of the reason why events are accelerating as they are is that the gospel of the kingdom of Yahweh is being preached throughout the world, and that kingdom involves this law for the first time since, I guess, Joshua and John the Baptist and the apostles preached it many, many years ago. So that's one thing that goes hand in hand with that. I want you to turn to Matthew, the 24th chapter, and you can see a correlation here that makes you stop for a moment and think, wow, you know, this is really something to think about. In Matthew, the 24th chapter, Matthew 24, pivotal prophetic chapter in the New Testament. Obviously, it's not the only one, but it's a good summary of several events. Ties in with Revelations and places. Here's what it says in verse 14. And this gospel, not just any gospel, not some new gospel, not some gospel that the apostles would never recognize if they were walking the earth today, but this gospel of the kingdom. Kingdom of what? Well, you go back in the Gospels, other Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's the gospel of the kingdom of Yahweh. Now, that's sometimes what is missed. This is not the kingdom of Yahshua. It's the kingdom of Yahweh, of his Father. And Yahweh is the one that's in charge of it all. He's the one that revealed to Yahshua. He gave him the book of Revelations. He already had it mapped out. And so it says here, this gospel of the kingdom of Yahweh, or the kingdom, shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. I don't know how many nations there are in the world, but we're getting 30-something. For a witness unto all nations, and then the end of the age, which is not an end of all things, it's a transition into what everybody wants, the age of peace, the kingdom of Yahweh. Then the end shall come. So, what this is telling us is there's a relationship between the gospel and the culmination of the age. Very important statement that Yahshua makes here. And so we can see that one thing, in a sense, I don't know if drive is exactly the right word, but certainly something that correlates with end time events is the gospel being preached in all the world. And so when that happens, when that is finished, then it says the culmination of the age shall take place. And there's a lot yet to happen. It's not going to happen tomorrow. I've heard people say, well, he can come just any time. No, he can't come just any time. He's not coming this year, and he's not coming next year. You know, he comes on Yahweh's schedule, and Yahweh has his schedule down. There's lots of things to happen. The temple in Jerusalem's got to be rebuilt. If you turn to Matthew 24 there again and look at that, it says, abomination of desolation shall be set up in the holy place. And when you see that, he says, I'll just turn there again for a moment, says, when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso reads, let him understand. Then let them which are in Judea flee into the mountains, and go on, so on. He said, then things are about to break loose here. There shall be false Christs, verse 24, and false prophets show great signs and wonders. Talks about the false prophet over in the book of Revelation. That's going to happen there, you see. And so this begins to happen. But you have to have the holy place to set the abomination up in. We don't have one now. The holy place in Jerusalem is simply not there. So the temple's got to be rebuilt. And we'll be talking about that more later and articles about this temple. Very important time. When you see the temple being rebuilt, I don't know if it'll be on the scale of Solomon's temple. It might be on the scale of Herod's, which they said was a poor imitation of the real thing. But it's going to be rebuilt. Part of prophecy, part of those things that have to be fulfilled. See, we're some distance from that. People have been predicting the rebuilding of the temple since the early 90s. In fact, several people thought it's going to happen in 1992. You just hold on to your seat, it's going to happen. Well, it's only been, 10 years ago. So it's going to take some time. Well, that's 20 years ago, isn't it? 20 years ago. So those are things to look at. And the book of Revelations is talking about the kingdoms of our Yahweh and his Messiah shall take place when the seventh trumpet sounds the trumpet. So there's a prophetic interpretation of one of the great importances of this time. And we need to rejoice before Yahweh because, as it says, when you see certain things, rejoice because your redemption draws near. It's not a time of depression and sadness. It's a time of rejoicing because we're ever closer to the return of the Messiah. So for example, what I said earlier, 1 Chronicles 20, verse 1, the time of year when kings go out to war is the time of the summertime. It's not in the wintertime. So this particular trumpet blast does not indicate to be a time of war, but a time of celebration of a victory already won. That's important that we keep that in mind. So I've covered just sort of the highlights there of the importance of this time and when it is. It's also important that we understand that Yahweh requires this for our benefit. You never do the wrong thing by doing the right thing. That's the way it is. You don't become more spiritual by doing less of Yahweh's law. You become more spiritual by doing more of his law. It's a mistake. Yahshua was absolutely perfect. He's as spiritual as it gets. If that's what he was, perfect and as spiritual as it gets, you have to ask, what did he do on these days? Go to the New Testament. He kept the weekly Sabbath. He was at the Feast of Tabernacles. He kept those feasts. That was his custom from a child up. And those guys that worked with him, the apostles, he knew them from childhood. That's what they all did. It's very common. There was nothing new to them to be at a convocation on Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks. They'd done it all their lives. So it wasn't anything new. It was something that was just the routine that they went through year after year after year. The Passover record we have in the New Testament, the last Passover, they'd done that all their lives. And that was just another record because that was, quote, the last one. They sometimes call the last Passover. There really isn't one. There's no last Feast of Weeks. There's no last Feast of Tabernacles. That was just the Passover when Yahshua was betrayed. So let's look at verse 22, and I'm going to close on this point of Matthew 24. It says here, verse 22, and this is very reassuring to me. And except those days should be shortened, he's talking about the temple's rebuilt, all these different, the great tribulation breaks out. Except those days be shortened, there should no flesh. We're talking about man, woman, child, squirrels, deer, cattle, beetles, whatever, shall be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. For the elect's sake. And so what will the elect be doing? My final note here, go over to Revelations. strong evidence that this is what's going to be happening here for the elect's sake, because Yahshua came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. And we need to keep in mind that Yahweh has a plan for his people. Revelation's 12th chapter, and here's, I'm going to read this final note. He's talking about the woman. The woman flees, verse 6 of Revelation's 12. The woman, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared of Yahweh. Is that going on right now? Are the preparations being made for that time? This is a revelation. This book of Revelation is being opened now. When have the ten horns ever been identified in prophecy in the history since Yahshua's day? None that I know of, except through this work. So this book is being opened today. The seals are being taken off. And that's what Yahshua's the one that's doing it. He's taking those seals off. So here's this one, there's that one. You can see this happening. But here's what it says. Where she has a place prepared of Yahweh, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. 1,260 days, that's 3.5 years. And that's sometimes called a place of safety. Can't get to her. She is prepared, Yahweh's prepared a place, preparing a place, and they shall feed her there in this place away, where Satan, who chases her, by the way, she's chased to this place, says over in, later over in this chapter. But this is what Yahweh has in store, and we need to take heart, regardless of the violent circumstances of the day and the looming critical election year that we're in. This is the sixth year, by the way, and I mentioned much earlier in the year, not to be surprised if you don't see some more spikes in the sixth year. And since I've mentioned that, we've had this tremendous drought, and now we have this uproar in the Middle East, and we're not there yet. 6 years not over yet, so we ask Yahweh's blessing on our efforts to follow him. Keep his Sabbaths. We're looking forward to a great feast. We're going to have some people who've never been to the feast with us before, as far as I know, so we're very thankful for that. So praise Yahweh, and hallelujah to Yahweh for bringing us here today, and may Yahweh bless our efforts to obey him. Praise him. Hallelujah.
Please contact us today to subscribe to our free Insight magazine. The Insight provides the connection between current events and biblical prophecy. People want to know the causes of war, disease, terrorism, and where we are headed. Are we living in the final generation of this age? The Insight discusses these questions from the standpoint of what the Bible says. The solutions to the problems humanity faces are found in the law of Yahweh. Our literature focuses on that law. This is vital information urgently needed in these uncertain times. So be sure to subscribe to the Insight today by contacting us at ICY P.O. Box 208, Pocahontas, Arkansas 72455, USA. Or please visit us online at icyahweh.org.